Hello and welcome to another episode of Business and Stuff. I have a really exciting guest for you today. We're going to be talking about publishing, writing books, and finding out more about sort of English literature and business in general. So if you may, I'll pass over for our guests to introduce themselves today, and then we'll jump straight into some questions.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Pierre, for inviting me over to your brand new podcast. This is Harsh Bharadwaj. I'm dialing in from India. I am an author, published author with HarperCollins, and I'm a publisher, startup publisher here in New Delhi. I also teach English literature to UPSC aspirants here in India. That's something I do out of passion because I studied literature back in the days. And I spent a lot of time in Liverpool. And so Liverpool is my second home. Delhi is my first home, Delhi, near Delhi. And I would like to congratulate Pierre Combs for the first book. Is that it? Is that your first book, Pierre?
It is, yes, yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, it came out, last week, the end of last week. And yeah, it's a very interesting feeling having a book out, you know, and actually, you know, holding it in your hands in sort of the physical manifestation of it, you know, having it in sort of paper form, you know, it's an amazing feeling. But yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to tell us about that as well, because you have a book yourself called A to B: How to Move from Adversity to Breakthrough with Powerful Storytelling. So if I may, tell us a little bit about the book and you know, sort of what you cover and sort of what it's sort of about.
Thanks, Pierre. The book, it's a life / business self-help. I start the basic allegory, the basic allegorical framework for the book is 1001 Arabian Nights, if you've heard of that story from Arabian Nights, where there is a king who marries every night, and he sets up a condition that the new queen must entertain him all night, or else she will be slaughtered in the morning. Of course, tons of symbolism and metaphors in it. So she will be slaughtered in the morning, and he killed so many queens every night. Until one day, a local girl named Shehrazadeh, she volunteered to get married to the king. And she had a plan to stop him, and she married the king, and she started doing, guess what? Starting telling him stories.
Ooh.
And her plan of action was that she needed to buy the first night and then the night after. So I took this story as a background to compare the customers or clients as the unforgiving king. A little extreme example of that. Unforgiving king, and we, the service providers or the products or the brand creators, as that new queen, Shehrazadeh. So we have only a finite amount of time to catch the attention of the king, or we will be replaced. Click of a mouse and we're gone. Someone else is here. So how do you weave night after night of storytelling until the king really loves you enough to get married to you? That's how the story moves. So I take the story of Shehrazadeh and how she does it in parallel to different business stories, like how Steve Jobs created the Apple brand, or how Richard Branson worked on the Virgin story. So it's something that they do over a period of time, build small blocks of their narrative to create a narrative until a time comes when you have your client as your greatest Samaritan. It takes some time. It takes putting together a lot of building blocks of that narrative. But that's what my book talks about, that you can move from A to B, any situation in business or life, if you can figure out your story.
Definitely, yeah.
Sounds interesting?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because kind of like my book takes a sort of similar sort of structure. You know, it's a story, and then sort of embedded in that, I've put sort of sales and marketing and sort of just bits of business advice. But I think capturing the reader, making them, you know, like you say, kind of fall in love with the book, and having a sort of a reason behind it to keep them reading. It's a little bit like, to kind of give a comparison, it's like a film. You know, people say that you get like 11 minutes, I think it is, in a film to get into it. And if you're not into the film by that time, you know, you're probably not going to keep watching, you know. And I think it's very similar to that, isn't it? You know, with the sense of reading a book, being an author and telling a story, you know, you have to really emotionally give a reason or give in a sort of incentive for someone to keep reading. And I really like that, you know, the story of the king, and that's very interesting. I've noted it down to read your book, and Tiana, having a bit of insight from you on that is it's interesting. I'm looking forward to reading it. So also I see that you're on Unacademy. As you say, you sort of teach. Tell me, if you can, a little bit about sort of what you teach and what you help people with, and some perhaps the common problems that people have when, you know, they're looking to write a book. And I can probably relate to that because, you know, I'll probably jump back in because, you know, I had a few challenges writing my book as well. Certainly kind of getting started was a tough one for me. But starting on the Uni Academy, you know, if I can ask you, sort of what you sort of tend to teach. I think it's English literature, isn't it? And what's kind of the key message behind that?
I teach at Unacademy, which is India's biggest edutech company for students who are preparing for competitive exams, like the top civil services exams in India. And so I teach English literature to those young students. The reason I started teaching English literature, because my formal training is, I've done masters in literary criticism and films from University of Liverpool at specifically Liverpool Hope College in Liverpool. And ever since, I wanted to do something relevant to that field. I wanted to teach, but when I came back to India, I couldn't find a job as a teacher or a professor. I needed a PhD. So I was always looking a way to get back to it. Now, teaching literature, I teach, I read most of the classic authors, Virginia Woolf, James Joyce, Ernest Hemingway, T.S. Eliot, Wordsworth, Shakespeare, of course. One thing that I've learned and that I impart to my students is the skill of organizing your ideas so that you can write well. And it's such an important skill, and so few people are trained in it. I don't know. I mean, I understand the British education system as well as the Indian education system. The focus has never been to teach you, to give you critical insights so that you can organize your ideas logically and express them in the most coherent manner. It doesn't matter what the topic is, whether you're writing a book on fiction or whether you're writing a business book or whether you're writing an answer for your exam. It doesn't matter the length. Writing coherently or expressing coherently is such a huge skill, and it can be learned. So I teach those students that skill, and that is also something I do in my professional life, being a professional editor and publisher. I worked in the traditional publishing for a long time until I realized that most people struggle with the writing process itself. So most people are not able to finish their books. So very few books end up becoming manuscripts. So most manuscripts are dead even before they are completed. So I realized, and specifically with people like you, I have your book in Kindle form, and I'm going to read it and come back to it. Especially with experts, coaches, and CXOs, with the paucity of time, you need some kind of an expertise help. And why not? It's like business consulting, where at least get your ideas down in the form you wanted.
Definitely. Right? And I would say that's probably, I mean, firsthand, you know, I've experienced that. I mean, I, you know, it's taken me probably the best part of 4 years to kind of solidly get past writing. I mean, I've actually started writing a book probably about 10 times. And it was only really this time, you know, sort of a couple months back that I actually got past, you know, sort of the first chapter, you know, where I sort of committed past it and I saw the end vision. And I would say it comes down to what you said, you know, the structure of a book. And the first time I sort of actually decided, I put a bit of a diagram together and sort of noted out all the different chapters and kind of put a bit of a note as to what they might be about. And of course, it sort of organically sort of grew and changed as I was writing, but it gave me that structure. And that's something that I guess, you know, as a shortcut, I would potentially go to someone like yourself who would actually be able to teach those skills and perhaps those steps to take. I guess, you know, I sort of found doing that as, you know, to kind of put everything together and structure it out. That was my way of doing it. But I mean, what is a good way kind of, you know, to start writing a book? What would, if there was perhaps three steps to give to a budding writer, I know it's difficult to put it into to maybe just sort of three steps, but if you were to kind of give a couple steps, what would those look like? What would they be?
Good question. Very pertinent. First of all, I would again like to congratulate you because I understand the enormity of the task, right? I see failed manuscripts every day. So if you've completed it and shipped it, that's a huge, huge task that you've accomplished. And now you can, your chances of doing it again are much higher, but it's difficult. How I would like to propose if someone comes to me, I think the first step is definitely to outline it and plan it. That should be the first step, but outline it and plan it, use mind mapping, use whatever tool you use. You need to figure out what exactly you're going to be talking about. 10 chapters, 12 chapters, 15 chapters, 20 chapters, doesn't matter in the beginning. Just outline all your ideas. You will be able to find a theme later. First, just collect everything that you want to talk about on the topic. Of course, you need to refine it and find a theme and coherency in it, but right now is not the stage. The first stage is always to outline it. Just like you're writing a 1,000-word assignment, school assignment, or probably writing an email. Right, when you write an email, you put together all the points in coherence, right? Everything you want to say, you ensure that it's in the email in the right structure. So outlining for a book works exactly like that. It's easier because it's one or two page document as opposed to, you know, 60,000 word book. So you start with one or two pages of outlining. Then it's probably the most important step. You must set a deadline. I'm sick of people telling me that book writing is a creative process and you have to wait for the muse or the mood or the inspiration. That's all just bullshit. Mm. You are not writing a literary fiction. You're not writing War and Peace. Not offending anyone, but if it's a book, business self-help book, you know everything about the topic. You're already a master of it. You're already an expert. You make your living out of it. You know everything about the topic. It's just the mechanical task of writing it down. So you must set a deadline. And I would say a 60,000 or a 50,000 word book should not take more than 6 months. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time. And to accomplish that in 6 months, you probably need to write every day. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 200 words or 300 words or 500 words, set up a deadline, set up a monthly review, just like achieving any goal, because writing is like anything else, like going to the gym, sticking to a diet. It requires mechanical discipline. Otherwise, as you said, it took you, what, 4 years? I mean, my first book, it took me 2 years, but the second novel that I wrote it in 26 days. Wow. And the third self-help book that I've finished now, I followed the exact process and I've written it in 35 days. The reason I ask you to do it quickly the first time around is 6 months is still a long time. I would say cut it down to 3 or 4 if you can. You need to do it quickly the first time around because the first draft is always not good. First draft is just the first draft. If you really want your book, you know, to read well, to be really a good writing, you need to do at least 2 or 3 drafts. So if you do the first one quickly, put it away for a month, come back to it, take a month to edit it, and then ship it out to somebody who can have a look at it. That's the ideal process to get it done.
Definitely.
But what I add to it here, like if somebody comes to me and I've written a couple of ghost written books last year for CXOs, I would advise you to have a writing coach or an editor or a professional right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then do this brainstorming with the person right from the first day. Why you wait for, you know, finishing the book and then hand it over to someone to have a look. Now, coming back to what I do specifically with the coaches and experts and CXOs. For example, you have written a book which is very specific to your profession. It is supposed to align with your business ideas, your professional ideas. It's supposed to confirm your thought leadership in the subject. It needs to be very relevant and appropriate to your profession. So you really needed to think hard, which you must, I'm sure you have, really need to think hard before you start jotting it down, because it must align to your professional career. I mean, if you are a business coach for, let's say, executives over 40, and you write a book on relationship advice for women, that doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's not the right smart move. So you really need to fine tune the idea, and it must align and fit like a perfect cog in the entire system perfectly. So that happens before you start writing, when you're planning your book. So you plan your book, outline your book in alignment with what you're trying to do in your career. You understand it clearly. Why you're writing the book? How will this help you? So whatever you say, your book should resonate. Whatever your book says, it should resonate with what you say in other mediums. So it should work in harmony with your entire content marketing mix. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because definitely. Yeah. I think actually that's a really strong point, because, you know, talking to sort of fellow business people about the process of writing a book, and when I've said that, you know, I'm writing a book and it's now come out, you know, people always ask what it's about, and of course, obviously, it's relevant to what I do, you know, being a sales and marketing expert. But what a lot of people don't realize necessarily is that sometimes a book, you know, it's a big investment to put your time into, you know, it's your baby really, and you put so much into it, and yet really it's not always about the sales. It's about being a thought authority, and of course, you know, there's going to be sales, and it's going to be there for people to use and to read and to enrich their lives. But really, I think that's completely right. It's got to be in line with what you do, because it's, you know, it's promoting you as a person, and it promotes your business, and so it really does have to, you know, to align with that. And again, also your points about sort of, you know, writing the book and everything, and sort of it taking so long to get to writing your first book, and how people take so long writing their book. I think one of the key problems I feel, certainly, and I felt when I was doing it, is that you think you have to get it all right when you're writing it. And I think that's probably the wrong way of looking at it, because, of course, like you said, you know, you do lots of different revisions, lots of different edits to get it to be perfect. And a lot of people get so hung up on trying to get it perfect at the very beginning that they never write and write and write. And I think the biggest, well, my biggest, sort of tip would be to just write, you know, to know what you're writing about, but just write. Because if you just stop and you constantly try to be a perfectionist, you'll probably stop yourself from achieving so much and getting so much written, because it is in those revisions and those edits that it's then crafted out to the end product.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's probably one of the most precious tips. Ernest Hemingway said, "The first draft of everything is shit." So that's quite true. I mean, and you're absolutely right. This loop of writing and editing, it makes the entire process, you know, long and long and long. It never ends. So you really need to get out of that loop. Just write, complete the first draft as quickly as you can. That's the secret. If you take long in the first draft, it's just every passing day is a drain on your resources, and it's a lot of stress.
Definitely. And I agree as well with what you said, that, you know, your first book can take a little time. And then when it comes to a second book, you know, because you have the structure and you know how the process works, you can really approach it differently. And for me, I mean, literally, you know, I've launched it last week, and I'm thinking about writing another book already. You know, I've got that writer's bug, and I sort of miss the process of being creative and going on a journey in my own mind, you know, to map it out and to, you know, to be really creative with a story and to tell a story and put my emotion, my experience and my knowledge into it. I completely agree with you, you know, on that. It's an addictive, you know, it really is an addictive art. And once you've got the first one done, you're kind of on, you're already thinking about the next one, which for me, you know, sort of operating my business and doing everything that I do, you know, kind of, you know, I should probably take a pause, but it's certainly an addiction. And I'm really keen, as soon as I, you know, will allow myself to get writing again. I think, you know, I might do it a little bit in the evening here and there and not, you know, leave it alone, because I've got that sort of burning desire in me to write more. So, yeah. So how many books is it you've written? Did you say two or three?
Yeah. The first one was out with HarperCollins in 2019. Mm-hmm. Then I took a challenge with my writing buddies to write a novel, fiction. It's a thriller. It's a crime thriller.
Okay.
That's out on Amazon. And then I've just finished writing the third one, which is a self-help, again for business, but with more specific tips on creating the narrative again. So I realized that I need to stay around this creating the narrative bit, because it's applicable both on life and on business. So yeah, three books so far. And I'm absolutely excited that you're already thinking about the next one. You must not stop the bandwagon once you got hit with the bug. Just keep going. Make it part of your personality. I mean, it's something really enlightening, and it's a very, very empowering skill.
Definitely. I mean, for me, there's two reasons, I think, why I'm so in love with writing, perhaps three reasons. I mean, the first one is because it's such an amazing outlet, because, you know, if you've got memories, if you've got feelings, you know, if you've got knowledge and you've kind of got them all inside of you, like a kind of a boiling pot. And if there's no kind of outlet for that, you know, you can, if you're a thinker like me, and I'm sort of quite introvert, and you know, I think and I overthink everything, and it's that sort of magic outlet that allows you to put words, and even if you're telling sort of a fictional story in some way, you can put your emotions, you know, some of your feelings, some of your senses sort of into that, and it's a really rewarding and kind of you know, it just allows you to kind of exercise those demons, so to speak. Not that I'm demonic in any way, but, you know, it allows you to kind of have that outlet that you need. And, you know, secondly, I would say it's going to live beyond, you know, you as a person, isn't it? You know, and I think about, you know, as a business person and just as an individual in life, you know, I have a young son, and I think about longevity and you know, I think about legacy, and it might be quite you know, in its infancy for me to talk about sort of legacy being, you know, 35, but I do think about you know, the purpose of us as individuals in this world, and, you know, about some of the big sort of questions that people do tend to ponder. And the thought of leaving something, even if there's, you know, no sort of you know, answer to the big reasons of, you know, why are we here? What's our purpose? And all these sort of big questions that people tend to ask themselves. What does sit well with me is leaving, you know, something that I'm sort of known for, or, you know, leaving words that I've said or feelings that I've thought, you know, expressions and so forth. And so by leaving something, I think that's quite powerful. And thirdly, I think, you know, there's of course the business benefit to it. Having a book, you know, it builds, you know, you as an authority, doesn't it? And, you know, people are fascinated, you know, to know that you've written a book. So I mean, what first kind of got you interested in writing, in sort of English lit, in terms of sort of communication? I mean, what sort of things really kind of fueled you to go to university and to study English and to get into writing? Have you always sort of loved reading? Have you been into books?
Yeah, it's a funny story, because I grew up in India, and we are fascinated by films, Bollywood. So everyone growing up in the 90s wanted to be an actor or a director or a songwriter. So I grew up with those dreams. I used to write a bit of here and there, jot down some poetry. And I studied science in my school days. But when I did my first degree in literature in India, those were the best 2 years of my life. I absolutely enjoyed reading books from international authors, foreign authors. And I literally felt what they say about a book, that by reading a book, you travel in time and space. Mm. So if you're reading a book about, let's say, 19th century London, Charles Dickens, you're there. By the time you're reading the book, 2, 3, 4 hours, you are in London with Charles Dickens, and you are in that Victorian age. And how brilliant is that? You don't even leave your house, and you travel the world. You travel back in space and in time.
Definitely, it's almost like being sort of in between real life and dreaming, isn't it? It's almost like lucid dreaming, but you're consciously guiding it. When you're following the narrative and you can see it in your mind's eye, it's better than a film in many ways, isn't it?
It's definitely better than film. Film has a handicap. This is something I teach our literature students, and I talk about it a lot, difference between film and a book. A book is evocative in the sense, I'll give you an example. If the book says that he knocked the door and he walked into the room and there was a blue chair, he thumped down in the blue chair. When you're reading those lines in a book, you imagine all those things in your mind. You imagine that man, you imagine that door, you imagine that blue chair. So every reader reading will have a different blue chair, right? So 100 readers reading the same page will imagine a completely different blue chair, completely different door, completely different man. And it's their own story. They're visualizing it. They're co-creating it. But in a film, there is only one blue chair, which the director has set there, right? So the film is far less imaginative. It lets you imagine very little, because it shows you everything. It leaves very little to imagination. But a book, for every reader, it's a completely different visual exercise. And definitely, that's the beauty of a book. That's why you like, you know, the books. My favorite book from British authors like contemporary was The Beach. You must have heard of it, The Beach. And the film was made, Leonardo DiCaprio was in film. The Beach, I've forgotten the name of the author. And it was so visual. And when I watched the movie, I almost screamed in the middle, because it completely disrupted everything I imagined about that, the entire scene, the entire island, and everything that the book gave me. So since then, that was the first experience of book versus a film. So I was always interested into the literary side of things. And of course, at the end of the day, it's communication. So when I did my master's from Liverpool, where I studied films, I studied music, I studied, of course, literature of the First World War. And the question was, what are you going to do with this in the real world? What kind of a job will you do? Where can you apply your skills? So my teachers suggested me to go out and try something in marketing and sales, because sales and marketing is about communication, a lot of writing. So I did my CIM diploma from Manchester, Chartered Institute of Marketing. And I really enjoyed the process of writing copy, understanding various parts of communication. So this is something where, you know, a lot of literature students should think about. In India, it's a huge thing that you've done an MA in English. What are you going to do? There are no career prospects, no direct vocation. So sales and marketing require people who are brilliant in communication. So, if, for example, I'm talking to you and you are in sales and marketing, you have your own company. I'm pretty sure the reason you've written your book, you thought about it, is because you are very good with communication. So far, you've practiced it in the spoken format, but now you've also done it in the written one.
Definitely, yeah. No, I completely agree with that. Yeah, and you know, I've always been sort of a communicator and kind of very creative in a sense. But yeah, certainly it's been a sort of a sales format, and this has been a sort of a different outlet, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little more about your company. What do you do, and how do you generate leads, and how do you impact the businesses you work with?
Yeah, so I run a business called Big Wolf Marketing, and we're a group of lead generation agencies. So what we do is clients come to us and they want appointments, or they want interested opportunities, you know, people who are sort of keen on finding out more about their products and services. And so, yeah, it's in the vein of sort of lead generation in terms of marketing and sales. So we create sort of sales ready opportunities in many senses. So it's different from writing a book, but what I've tried to really cover in the book is how to sell, because one of the big challenges that a lot of my clients and a lot of people that come to me have is they really struggle to, you know, they have a great idea, they have a good product, a good service, but they really struggle then to take that to market and to kind of communicate it to, you know, to their potential prospects. So in the book, kind of entwined in this story of a client of mine and sort of his journey, I've got some of the sort of the key techniques, some tips, tools, you know, on how to sell your product or service and how to kind of align it with the market. So yeah, it's been very interesting kind of taking what I do in the everyday and putting it into book format. I mean, in terms of your experience sort of working with business people and so forth, I mean, what are the normal challenges that people tend to find? So for example, with someone like myself who runs a marketing company and, you know, really, really hasn't written before, or, you know, knows that they want to, I mean, what do you tend to find are some of the key challenges that people like myself sort of tend to have when they come to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the biggest is where to start and what all it's going to take in terms of time and money. So most people have, I'm sure when you started, you must have thought that it's going to take you years and it's a long, long haul project. And you had no idea about the costs, right? You'll find out as you go along. So all the questions about costs and time and what it's going to take, that is what I answered in the first instance, that the proposition we have is we'll help you turn around the book within a very limited time frame, very, very agreed time frame. And this is what the costs going to be. And this is what the impact should be on your professional career. So we don't just give you the book. We'll also plan further after it. So what do you do with the book after it? How do you make it, you know, work for you?
This is
the biggest obstacle, that how you start and how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take, 6 months or 8 months. So that's where, because I think publishing, traditional publishing is broken in a way that there are far more authors than what the publishers can do with them. And self-publishing requires professionals like me, but most self-publishing companies are just services companies. Design a cover, do edit, do this, do that. There's nobody who's taking it a holistic business approach. So for me, your book is a business vertical. It's your business vertical, right? It is. It must be a business vertical. If it's not, then we'll help you understand to see it as a business vertical. Now it's a business vertical. We'll consult you, help get it in the most profitable and efficient shape.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's so much more to writing a book than actually writing a book. Believe it or not, it sounds strange to say it, but you know, certainly if you're kind of, you know, really wanting to be in control and maybe go the sort of the self-publish route. I mean, there's things like formatting. You know, things that, you know, as a newbie writer, you don't even Absolutely. Think about. Yep. And you know, it's yeah. There's so much more to the process of having a book out. And I guess traditionally, if you go to a publisher, you know, they would just do that. You know, they would even do, you know, the cover. You don't have sort of the nervous, you know, choice of having to, you know, see which yeah. cover you go for, you know, what color do we have it, you know, what's going to stand out. And all these kind of decisions are taken away from you, which I don't yeah. know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess there's pros and cons to it. You know,
my book was published by HarperCollins. It was a traditionally published book. It was sold by an agent at a good advance royalty.
Oh.
So it was a big win for me. So I was really proud. But it took 3.5 years to come out. And I had no say in any decision. They even changed the name. They changed the cover, you know, everything according to their company policy and ethical code and all that.
Yeah,
less control, but just the brand. Mm-hmm. So I've got the brand HarperCollins, but far less control, but of course better editorial, you know, better cover designers, overall better marketing, better distribution. So all is handled by them. Mm-hmm. But in the hindsight, I don't think that has made any difference.
Yeah,
really, I'm thankful, and I express my gratitude that it was published by HarperCollins. They've done a brilliant job. But if I were to do it again, I'll probably do it, not probably, I'll definitely do it myself. And it's not worth the time and the effort. It's 3.5 years. It's not worth it. You should be able to pack it in 6 months, right? And get it out in 6 to 8 months. 6 to 8 is even a long stretch.
Definitely, yeah, because I think, you know, kind of losing the control with it, you know, certainly when it's something that's so creative and so something that you've worked on for so long. I mean, I appreciate that, you know, having, you know, advance is great, and, you know, it's great to have, you know, publishing deal and everything. But yeah, no, completely. I think, I guess so long as you have sort of the marketing plan in place now, yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily need to have a big publisher, because you've got the distribution, you know, with the likes of Amazon. You know, you can even these days, you know, get it into, you know, to physical shops, you know, albeit perhaps selective stores and things like that, but there are ways. But so now it's more about the marketing plan. And I mean, we're coming towards the end of the time on this, but I mean, if you could kind of give me sort of a brief overview of maybe sort of the steps that you would take if you were doing sort of the self-published route to market your book, what's a great way to kind of get it out there, get the first few sales, maybe get some good reviews? What would be your tips? What would your tips be to sort of market it as a self-published author?
Yeah, I think the first thing is the book should be brilliantly produced.
Mm-hmm.
Most self-published books, 99.99%, are badly done books. Bad cheap covers, bad formatting, bad editing. You know, even though they end up spending lots of money, but people go to different places. You go to a formatter, you go to a book cover, you go to a printer, you go to editor. So you hunt for different vendors. So while you should only be writing, you end up spending so much time in, you know, finding all these freelancers. And the book ends up becoming just a sum of, you know, everything. So the first thing is a brilliantly produced book. Absolutely fantastic. Once, if you hold a physical copy, it should look like a traditionally published book. It should be as good as. right?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, once the book is out, I think I agree with Gayaka Vastaki, who sends out up to 2,000 review copies. That's a pretty high number. He can afford to do that. But he sends out lots of PDFs, lots of physical copies to media. In my experience, that actually helps. It helps because if you send it out to, let's say, 500 people, or, you know, your entire list, you might be thinking that, oh, I'm missing out on those early sales. That's the most common obstacle. Authors say, okay, that's my network, and you're asking me to send it free to all of them. But those 500 people, even if 100 people actually read the book and come back to you and comment and leave a review on Amazon, it starts a kind of a domino effect. And you need that little first push, because the window of opportunity is very small in the beginning. I lost first 6 months of my book. They told me after about a month of rolling it out, so I was already late. So I missed out on the first few months, and by then I realized that no matter what I do now, the novelty factor is gone, and it's kind of a lost cause. But still, we salvaged a lot of sales. But for you, for example, the window of opportunity is, I would say, around 30 to 45 days, where you need your copy of the book in as many hands as possible. Whether they buy it, whether you send them a review copy, chase them, follow them to leave a review, to leave something on social media, to please read it and come back with honest feedback. I cannot stress this highly enough.
Definitely.
Because that first 100 reviews, that has the potential to kick in a domino effect. And then, you know, podcasters like what you're doing, you go on podcast, you start creating content around the book, network with people. First 30 to 45 days. So send it to as many people, get into the hands of as many people as you can. And nowadays you can also gift Kindle. Earlier you couldn't gift Kindle, you had to send a PDF. So now you can even send a Kindle so they can leave a Kindle review. If you want, you should send physical copies to some selected people. I know printing is expensive in the UK, but in India, a copy, like how many pages your book has? About 120.
It's 148. It's quite a small one, yeah.
148 printed, double side. So about 70 physical pages, right? That'll come to you for around $1, a printed
copy.
$1 and high end, top end, with full color cover and really brilliant paper. So $1 cost, you can send it to around, I don't know. I mean, I send books to 200, 300 media people, magazine, blog owners, YouTubers, and all that. At least at the bare minimum, half of them end up at least posting a selfie or something, or talking about it, showing it off to people. Because a physical book is something everyone wants to show off. So this is a pretty good strategy. That's the first one that you should do. Then you should keep the conversations around your book alive as long as you can, provided the book fits with your overall professional narrative, right? So you can keep talking about the book because it's part of your overall narrative, right? So that's why an aligned book is a brilliant book, something you can always refer. You know, you can always refer in client meetings and, you know, emails, put an email signature. You can always keep coming back to it, keep referring ideas. But the first 30 to 45 days, that's the window of opportunity.
Brilliant.
And it closes very fast.
Excellent. No, that's great advice. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's lots that I still need to do and sort of, you know, send the book out and I think that's a great idea, and sort of, you know, connect with, you know, YouTubers and things like that, and just get my book out to them. I did have that reservation of not wanting to send things out free to people who were sort of potentially, you know, going to buy it. But yeah, no, completely. I think sometimes it's about more than the money, isn't it? And more than the sales, yeah. It's kind of getting it out there.
Don't send it to random people. Just send it to your network.
Yeah.
You know, people who know you, just maybe your clients, previous clients, people in your network, your family. Not to random YouTubers, because they won't appreciate it. They'll just take it and keep quiet. Just people who know. And yeah. just add a note. It feels good if somebody sends you a book. You feel, you know, it's that's a human thing, that if somebody sends you something, you would like to do something back. That's a normal human reaction. So when Definitely. Someone receives a copy of your physical book, they would want to do something back for you. Even if just a selfie or just a phone call back or telling two more people, that's it. Right? And you are a leads generation guy. I mean, you can use tools like UpViral or referral forms, etc., where you can just ask, just send it around to two more people. Send the link of the PDF to two of your friends. And before you know, you have like 1,000 PDFs out in the jungle talking about you. Right?
Definitely. Well, that's really powerful, and it's that's a really good message to end the session on. I think it kind of sits into the vein of if you give, you receive, put out positivity and gift it out, and people will spread the message. So no, that's lovely. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And if people want to connect with you, if there's budding authors out there perhaps listening to this, how can they connect with you? What social medias are you on? What is your social media handles profiles?
We are not very much active in terms of outbound marketing ads and all that. Most of our business is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. But I'm quite active on LinkedIn. That's where we met. Mm-hmm. And we have a website called 1billionstories.in. I'll send you the links. You can add it to the podcast description. And it was fantastic talking to you, Pierre. And I'm reading your book. I have it in Kindle.
Thank you.
Maybe if we would have talked earlier, you would have sent me a copy free of cost.
Yes, I would now, definitely, yeah.
No, I always buy my Kindle copies or physical copies as a gesture of respect, because I understand this community. Every sale matters, not just for money, but in terms of numbers. I always buy my review copies. But yes, I'm looking forward to coming back with the review, and we'll discuss it again on some platform. I wish you lots and lots of luck.
Thank you very much.
It was fantastic. Thanks for inviting me over, mate.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor to have you. Thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge and all the useful tips for any sort of budding authors and business people listening. So thank you very much. And we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.